I wanted to talk to you today about the question of the link of the of Haman with Amalek, the link of Haman and Amalek. So it's not just a name. There's more to it. Let's take a look. So if we look, there's a number of interesting connections between the Megillah, the story of Haman and Amalek. So the first thing, and really the most prominent thing, is his name, that he's Haman Ha'agagi, the Agagite. And we know that Shmuel killed Agag, the king of Amalek. So when they were trying to fight the Amalekites, Saul failed to kill the king, and Shmuel had to do the dirty work, the mitzvah, and he killed him with his own sword. It's the only violent act we see Shmuel doing, even as a leader. Usually, when he wants to win a war, he just prays to God and everybody, all the enemies go away. But this is one physical act of war that Shmuel did. So Haman is associated with the king of Amalek, Agag. Okay, so that's a very clear link. Here's another link. When it talks about the Amalekites and their fateful attack against the Jews, it says, Asher karcha baderech, that they chanced upon you on the road. They chanced upon you. In other words, it wasn't a planned thing like, said, oh, the Jews are coming. We better defend ourselves. They're going to take over our territory. No. They just happened to be passing this way, and we were passing the other way. They said, hey, let's kill all the women and children. Why not, right? So it's a random sort of the banality of evil, right? Just evil because why not, right? And notice, what did Haman do? He said, oh, let's make a lottery, and let's see when we should kill the Jews. Randomness. They believe in randomness. There's no purpose to the world. There's no God. So the chance and the game of chance. So that's a second connection. And then he's another sign that he's sort of illogical. It's an illogical hatred. He said it was light in his eyes. It was too easy in his eyes to cast his hand against Mordecai, against one Mordecai, only against Mordecai. He decided, let's kill all the Jews. So the attack was not territorial. Just like Amalek's attack against the Jews was not territorial. He wasn't trying to win any territory. He wasn't defending his territory against the Jews who were coming in to take them over. There was no territorial dispute here. So too, Haman makes no sense. Why does he want to kill all the Jews? Well, it's too easy to kill just Mordecai. Let's kill them all. It doesn't make any sense. That's irrational. Hatred is usually irrational. So the connection between the Amalek attack, which was not territorial, irrational, and Haman's irrational attempt to kill every Jew because of Mordecai. Then's an interesting thing. This is not so much about the link between the two, but just an important lesson about Amalek. Rov Banav, there's an idea that he had many children. And the rabbis in the Midrash, they go all out. He had 300 kids. He had this many. Of course, we know there were 10 sons of Haman, but the rabbis midrashically say that there's more and more children. What are the rabbis telling us? Anybody? What are the rabbis saying about Amalek?
You got me.
And not just the rabbis. The Megillah itself is saying about Amalek. What is it saying? To me, it's saying that Amalek is everywhere. That you think that Amalek, oh, no, there's no more Amalek, don't worry about it. Amalek is everywhere. There are many children to Amalek. We've seen some of them the last few years propping up their head in America. He has many children. There are many anti-Semites. There are many people who want to kill Jews. They're out there. And that's part of remembering Amalek, is knowing that they are out there. Again, we don't have to be so paranoid. Behind every stone is an anti-Semite. We don't have to take that approach. But we have to remember that they could be out in great numbers, and you may not even know about it. So that's an interesting point about both Haman and Amalek. Then there's a remembrance connection. We're supposed to remember what Amalek has done. And it says in the Megillah, these days are remembered. When we read the Megillah, we're remembering what was done. It doesn't say in the Megillah, read the Megillah. It's a mitzvah of everyone to read the Megillah. It doesn't say that. It says, Shen Shalach Manos. It says to give gifts to the poor, Matanos, Lev Yonim. But it doesn't say read the Megillah. It says these days are remembered. How do we remember the story of Esther and Mordechai? we read the Megillah. And also we're supposed to remember what Amalek has done. Because in a way, when we read the Megillah, in a way, we're getting the mitzvah of remembering Amalek. Yesterday we had the privilege to read about Amalek. If you didn't have a chance to read it, you can take out a Chumash, page 1066 in your art school Chumash, and read about Amalek. That's one remembrance. And reading the Megillah is also a way to remember, get rid of Amalek. If Amalek is trying to kill you, go out and kill them. There's a cute thing, the Baal HaTurim, there's a commentator, we talked about him in one of our Tuesday night classes at DuMont University about Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He based it on the Tur, which was also a code of Jewish law. And there's something called the Baal HaTurim. Yaakov Baal HaTurim was a son of the Rush, a son of another great rabbi. And he likes to say these cute little things on the Parsha. So he says, Machoimcheh. God says, we read it a few weeks ago, that he will surely wipe out, Amalek. One day, God swears, eventually wipe out evil in the world. Macho Emcheh has the same gematria, the numerical value, as Zeh Haman. This is Haman. It's a gematria trick. It's not that Haman has the same value as Macho Emcheh, I will surely wipe out. But rather, I will surely wipe out, Macho Emcheh in Hebrew, is the same as the words, this is Haman. In Hebrew, Zeh, this is Haman. So Macho Emcheh is 53 and 54, which if my math is correct, 107. And Zeh Haman is 12 plus 95, which is 107. So I will surely wipe out is Haman. When we wiped him out, when we killed Haman, we fulfilled the idea that God swore he's going to wipe out Haman, or Amalek. So another connection between Amalek and Haman. Then we have Yikatev Le'abdam. It says that, he says, oh, please, Ahasuerus, if you don't mind, let it be written that they should be wiped out. So an interesting thing, and it tells us something about the story of the Megillah and also about the story of Amalek. What does it mean that Haman wanted to wipe us out? So if you would ask me 2 days ago, I would say, what do you mean? He wanted to kill everybody. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, a Hasidic rabbi, and the Malbim, who was not Hasidic, he was a rabbi in, where was it, in Poland, and in the 19th century, they both said that Haman was trying to wipe us out spiritually. That he was gonna create a program to wipe out our religion. He was against our religion. Hitler also he attacked on specifically on holidays. Who was telling me a story recently that the ghetto was getting better? So some people said, should we go to Shulam Rosh Hashanah? I don't know. So they went to Shulam Rosh Hashanah, and then they burnt the whole shul down. So they knew when Rosh Hashanah was and what practices we did. Eichmann was an expert in his Jewish relatives, he knew what when our holidays were and exactly when to round this up. Anyway, so there was an effort against our religion, Rav Tzadok says, and the Malbim, and both in the case of Haman, who told Ahasuerus that we have too many holidays, and in the story of Amalek, that Amalek was also, they were trying to wipe us out spiritually. So there are two types of Amalek. There's Amalek who wanted to kill us, as Amalek who want to wipe us out spiritually, destroy our religion, one way or the other. So this is true of Amalek, and it's true of Haman as well. Rav Tzadok says that there's a commonality between when Haman came, when Amalek came in the story of Joshua, the story at the end of the book of Bishalach, the before Yitro, before we got the Torah and Ten Commandments a few weeks ago, and when it was there in the story of Saul and David. So Rav Tzadok says these three cases are consistent. Haman came to wipe us out as the oral Torah was really getting going. There was always an oral Torah. From the days of Moses, we've always had an oral Torah. But the days of the flowering of the oral Torah were in the Second Temple period, when the Mishnah really starts flying. The Midrashim, the Talmud, it starts to go. Haman knew that the Jews were starting to flower in Torah. He wanted to kill us, to put us down. Amalek came before the Torah was given. Amalek knew we were going to get the Torah. Got to wipe out those Jews. You got to destroy their religion. And David, Amalek came when David arose. David and the kings and the Jewish people were starting to flower and flourish. That's when Amalek attacked. So there's a commonality between when Haman attacked, when Amalek attacked the Jews in the desert, when Amalek attacked King Saul and King David, because he knew big things were about to happen for the Jews. Their goal is to destroy any exciting thing that's about to happen for the Jewish people. And that's a commonality and a link between Megillah and Amalek in this Torah. Now, here's another connection. I've talked about this before. I wanted to put it in this context. That what happened? Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, well, if Mordecai is giving you such a pain, then let a stake be put up 50 cubits high in the morning, ask the king to have Mordecai impaled on it. Then you can go gaily with the king to the feast. Proposal pleased Haman, and he had the stake put up. So they said, why don't you go in the morning to the king? You're complaining now in the evening. Go in the morning. We get him hung, and then you can go to the party tomorrow. You'll be happy. You'll be in a better mood. You know, it's good to be fun at the party. So they said, go tomorrow. That was his advisors, and his wife told him, go to the king to get Mordecai hung tomorrow. But what did he do? He couldn't sleep. So that night he went to the king in the middle of the night. So the king said, who's in the court? Now some people take it innocently, like he's like, oh, is anybody around in the court? Or he said, who's in the court? Everybody knows you're not allowed to come in the court without permission. Who is that? So he said, it's Haman. He said, all right, bring him in. So he says, what do you do to honor somebody? He said, well, you really want to honor somebody, you give him a parade and you give him the king's crown on his horse. He said, okay, give Mordecai a parade like that. So at that moment, Haman had a downfall. He's suddenly giving a parade for Mordecai instead of killing Mordecai. But when did he do it? That night. But his wife told him to go. His wife told him to go tomorrow. Why is he going in the middle of the night? Because here we learn of an important feature of Amalek. They can't wait for tomorrow. And that explains the story in Shemot. Moses said to Joshua, all right, Amalek has attacked. Choose men for us and go out to fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill. Now we're not sure how to read this. Fight with Amalek tomorrow. Is he saying, look, if Amalek is attacking, don't bother. Let him attack. We'll fight them tomorrow. Or you go fight them now. I'll be there tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Why not now? Why not right now? So the Netziv said, well, you have to get ready. You can't just, when they attacked on Yom Kippur, the Arabs attacked Yom Kippur. We had to get ready. We couldn't really have a counterattack. A few days later. The first day, we were just holding off the enemy. That's the Netziv. But you might suggest that this was exactly the connection. Just like in the Torah, it says, you want to fight Amalek? Fight them tomorrow. They can't wait till tomorrow. They're very good on today. They're very impetuous. They go, they're people of chance. They'll gamble on today. Get ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be ready. They're not ready. A Jew gets ready. That's why last week we had the half shekel. We're getting ready for the fight against Amalek. We're ready. If someone wants to spend money to kill the Jews, we already spent our money to save the Jews. So there's an idea of impetuousness. Amalek, both in the story of Joshua and in the story of Haman, Amalek is impetuous. They can't wait. And therefore, that's the link between Haman and Haman in the Megillah and Amalek in the Torah. We had these different connections. Number one, Haman's called the Agagite. Number two, they're very into chance, games, lotteries. Number three, they're illogical. He wants to kill the Jews because of one person. That they have many children. Haman had many children, and there's always Amalek throughout history. They're always around. It's something you remember. You remember Amalek, and we remember that when we read the Megillah, we're remembering this story and about Haman. Numerologically, wiping out is the same numerological value as the word Haman. This is Haman itself. That they are both Haman and Amalek are there not only to destroy our bodies, but destroy our soul as well. They come specifically when things are going well. When the Jews are about to have a new blossoming, that's exactly when they come. One might argue that in the last century, there was a sense that Jews are having a good century, and they tried to wipe us out in that century. And what happened after that? It had probably the best century we've had in all of our history. And look what's going on with religion and with Torah and with Israel in this generation. And that's when Amalek comes to attack before things get going. And finally, there's this idea about tomorrow. Haman couldn't wait for tomorrow. He's impetuous. And the way to fight him is Moses says, tomorrow I'm going to go fight him. You don't fight Haman on his own terms. You wait till tomorrow. Haman is impetuous. We have to be in for the long haul, to be thoughtful and have forethought and planning. And with that, we can defeat Amalek. So those are some connections between Haman and Amalek that I thought I'd share with you. I thank you for listening.